Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and this is, of course, the show where we talk about all the things related to that issue of what we need to be doing in these times. And while the scripture talks about a number of things that seem to apply to a number of different times, as you know, your host likes to talk about cycles, and I firmly believe that we are seeing prophetic repetitions. In other words, there are as Mark Twain used to put it, history may not repeat itself, but it sure rhymes. And we're seeing a lot of rhymes, things that have perhaps had a prophetic understanding in the past, either a parable or something in history that we've seen. And, of course, because history does tend to rhyme, we're seeing it again. It's just that, as I suggest, what we're seeing now is probably a climax, reaching a series of tops that ultimately will end up being of biblical proportions. In other words, when it comes to meltdowns and when it comes to people falling away from the Creator and walking in lawlessness and doing all kinds of nasty stuff, yeah, we've seen it over and over and over again. It's just that if we pay attention and look at what's going on in the world now, we have perhaps never seen it on this scale of nastiness and general evil and, yeah, lawlessness abounding. So I want to talk about a number of things this week. Of course, the general theme is always come out of her, my people. And how do we do that? Why do we need to do that? What are some of the elements involved in that? Well, the one that I'm going to continue to emphasize this week is, look, if we really understand how things are building to a climax, if we've really been paying attention to the deep state swamp and to the lawlessness that's there, to the fact that literally just about everything in the Torah, when it comes to what the scripture says, judges you shall have, justice you shall pursue. You better pursue it somewhere else, folks, because you're sure as you know what not going to find it in the district of criminals. And it's worse. I mean, we've known that it's been going on for a long time, but at least once upon a time they paid lip service to various elements of the law and the Constitution. It doesn't even seem like there's an attempt to hide the level of depravity, of lawlessness, of hypocrisy that we're seeing now. All right, well, here's where I want to kick things off this week. We are in what the pagan world refers to as the holy day season. Of course, those of us that can read scripture know, nope, there's nothing holy about it. Am I not happy to say Merry Christmas and so forth? Well, we'll come back to all of that. But I'll introduce where I want to go this way. I did see the president's speech at the inauguration, the lighting of the Tannenbaum, you know, what Jeremiah 10 talks about. In other words, the Asherah pole there in the White House, a long-standing tradition. And, yeah, I'll admit it, and I think it was a good thing. His speech was touching. It was a nice message. And it was refreshing, at least by comparison to what we've seen for the last almost a decade or more in terms of, let's just put it this way, a president that may or may not ever use the word God. He's certainly not going to use any of the normal Christian terminology, the last guy I'm referring to. And it's pretty difficult to know whether he was talking about Allah or not. You listen to the message of President Trump, he said, among other things, the following: Christmas is a time for prayer and worship, for gratitude and goodwill, for peace and renewal, and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless America and Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, well, again, that is refreshing. Now, as most of us know, and Mark, are you being a killjoy here? To some extent, yes. I think it's really important, and this is the thing that I want to emphasize as we look at the world today and say, what is it we need to understand? For example, I listened recently to a prominent conservative talk show host, several of them, but some of you probably know Doug Hagman, and essentially he was pretty frosted about some things, saying, yeah, okay, look, we know that Christmas is pagan, we know that Jesus Christ wasn't born in the wintertime, but, right, there's always a but, isn't it great that people are saying Merry Christmas again. So in other words, isn't it great that we're worshiping a different pagan god than Allah? Is that really what he's saying? The problem is the following, and here's where I'm going to try to be objective as I can and also a bit of a killjoy. We have a whole lot of people that ignore any and all of the scripture where the creator and author of that book says that he hates. No, he doesn't tolerate it. He's not tolerant of all these other religions. He hates these fake gods. He hates all that pagan, and I'm going to use the only appropriate word here, crap. And if you look in places like Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'll read it, the Bible is very clear. Don't even bring this crap into your house. And, of course, the real Hebrew word is actually worse than that English translation. And we're warned about this over and over again. He hates these fake gods. Well, gee, Mark, most folks don't know it. Yeah, and therein lies the rub. Most folks are ignorant of the Constitution. Most folks are ignorant of the law. Most folks are ignorant of economics, of politics, of sociology. They're sure as heck ignorant of Scripture. And what does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So is it important as we enter into a time of turmoil like none of us have ever seen in our lifetimes that we know at least a few things about this so that we aren't, as Hosea warned, destroyed? I would suggest, yeah. Am I saying that if you keep a Christmas tree in your house, you'll be smitten by the God of the Bible? Not necessarily, but on the other hand, can you honestly expect his protection either? If you choose that, as Jeremiah and especially Isaiah, last chapter of Isaiah says, I do not delight. He says, I will choose their delusions in Isaiah 66. Why? Because when I called, no one answered. And they chose that in which I do not delight. They did all this stuff that I warned them against, told them not to do, and they thought, oh, well, he'll excuse it. It's okay. And he doesn't. So again, is it good that we have a president that's at least moved a little bit in the direction away from Allah and towards admitting that at least in terms of traditions and what we were, most of us, all of us indeed, that would call ourselves Christians at one point, brought up to believe, it says, even if it never really said any such thing in there. So how far do we need to go? In other words, to actually expect, as opposed to a curse, that there might be a blessing in it. And do we think, if we're fixing to see some of the nastiest times in the history of this nation, for sure, possibly ever, that it just might be important to know who we serve and which team we're really on and what he really says as opposed to what we've been told? He should have said, if he's as smart as all these liars have been telling us they are. So again, can't we all just get along? No, folks, clearly not. We're seeing a land where tolerance has been elevated to a god, and the only thing they're not tolerant of is the God of the Bible, and anybody who thinks that his will might be important. That's about as intolerant and, yeah, hypocritical as you can get. Would I rather say Merry Christmas, people, in a shopping mall or whatever, than hear them essentially, deny everything, anything that they even think is associated with Scripture? Perhaps, but honestly, unless we are willing and able to have the discernment to say, look, it's not enough just to not be cursed. If we actually want his protection, we better learn to walk in blessing. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. All right, now I've mentioned this. Let me make sure that people understand it. If you have this question, okay, and by the way, let me just dismiss this up front too. Does it matter that he wasn't born, that the Mashiach was not born in the wintertime? Well, yeah, it really does. But for that matter, it doesn't matter as much that we celebrate his birthday. There are a lot more important things to celebrate. By the way, most of them are verboten too and ignored by those who say that, he should have written something different than what he did. It's pretty easy to show that he was almost certainly born during the time of Sukkot. No shepherds were out watching over their flocks by night in the Holy Land in the dead of winter. So again, that's not the real issue. This, I'm going to contend, is the real issue, the thing that I think is most important that we understand. Chapter 7 of the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, says this. Now, this is about when the people head into the land. You're going to go into this land that's got all these pagan gods, he warns them. And when you get in there, don't ask the question that the Roman Catholic Church has been asking for 1,700 years. How do these folks worship their god? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll Christianize it. We'll say that Ishtar, the sun goddess, and her Sunday morning services, all that's just fine if we twist a few things and make it sound good and Christianized. That is not what the Creator says. He says don't do these things. Don't ask how did they worship their gods. Don't do anything like that, because all of this is an abomination. Here you go. End of chapter 7 in Devarim. It's also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 12 in a slightly different way. And if you really want to read something that'll set your hair on fire, if you've never read it before, check out Deuteronomy chapter 13. How do you recognize a fake prophet? Answer? Well, just about everything you can see when it comes to the trappings of adding and subtracting and putting all this pagan crap in and saying, we've Christianized it. Chapter 7, verse 25. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire, says the Creator. Doesn't sound like he likes it. You shall not covet even the gold or the silver that is on them, nor take it into yourself. No, don't even bring it into your house, is what this says. Listen. Lest you be snared therein, for it is an abomination to Yahuwah your El. And you, and this is the next verse, you shall not even bring that abomination into your house and be accursed like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is a devoted thing, a thing that is devoted to the wrong gods. You can look at Jeremiah 10. A lot of folks know that you can see other references that sound a whole lot like Asherah poles, paganism, so much of the trappings of the season that are so clearly pagan. But isn't it just warm and fuzzy and wonderful? Don't you just love some of the music? Well, here's the problem we have, folks. Yeah, it is enticing. And there's warm, fuzzy feelings to be had. The trouble is, there are warm, fuzzy feelings that don't have anything to do with the God of the Bible. And he warns us. Don't even take this stuff into your house. Don't even try to salvage the gold or silver that's on them or covet it, because it will end up having you be accursed like it. I'll ask again. As we enter into a time when it's pretty clear that Big Brother and all of those minions of Satan who walk in men's shoes and are trying to turn brother against brother, and we're warned about that too, we'll come back to that later, all of these other things are almost there. They've pretty well got their civil war, and there's pretty well some suggestions by the same token that when they get around to saying, okay, we've managed to slip in this new communist Congress, and there's no question about it. We don't need an actual reason to impeach this guy or kill him if we can't get away with that, but hey, we'll impeach him. We will tie his hands in knots. We'll make sure that whatever he does, it's not making America anywhere close to great again. It's not going to be shutting down the invasion that's already well underway, coming up from the south and from every other direction. The economic situation is probably already beyond hope, and you have a sellout Congress that basically isn't even talking about that. I mean, heck, folks, literally, let's not kid ourselves. What's a few billion dollars for a wall? Is the wall going to do it? Probably not. But if people continue to invite the aliens across the border, as Cicero warned, the traitor within your gates is a pretty nasty thing. Can we expect it not to get worse? So no, a few billion dollars isn't that big of a deal. We're talking about a federal accumulated debt that amounts to trillions, hundreds of trillions, really, if you do things reasonably and understand that there's no way, there's no physical way, there's no mathematical way that the debt can be paid back. Because, of course, it's all based on dishonest weights and measures and fraud. It's all anathema to the Constitution. We've come so far from the scriptural basis of money, from the biblical basis of money, from the constitutional basis of money, from the concept of free markets and honest weights and measures, from everything that was associated with what really once made America the strongest and most economically powerful nation on planet Earth, to a place where, like the rest of the planet, it's headed into the dumper. You want to see where we're headed? Yeah, look at Venezuela, look at much of Europe. It's not that difficult to connect those dots. So here we are, again, in a situation where there is a whole lot of cursing at hand, where there is a very great attempt to put a civil war in play. And it certainly looks to me like as things proceed, literally day by day, and lawlessness abounds, and we see a level of hypocrisy that literally boggles my mind. Okay, I watch people like Robert Mueller, one of the most evil, satanically nasty guys, along with his acolyte, James the Whoremeister and liar before Congress, Comey. And I hear these people saying, how dare folks that were trying to do something to turn the situation around lie to us, the almighty FBI. Now, you can't prove it because we don't make recordings, and we don't even allow Congress to see our so-called 302 reports. How much of this are Americans going to tolerate? Is the rule of law already dead? I can, in fact, make a pretty good case that it's true. It's already a done deal. And so I keep coming back to this issue. As we look at this season and as we ask ourselves the question, if there is a massive civil war coming, if in fact the things that the real Mashiach, not the one that was supposedly born on Christmas Day, but the one that was actually the Torah made flesh, who said he wasn't going to change it, much less do away with the law, that one, things that he warned us about, we see all of these things coming to pass. Are we going to ask for the protection of the Creator? Or are we going to continue to ask for the protection of various pagan gods? And the difference really does matter. I'm thankful that the President is at least coming around. I do not believe, folks, at all, that until the United States gets to the point of saying, you know, we really do have to recognize there is a God. He is not the one that lives in the swamp. He's not a crocodile. He's not any of these other things. He does have his written word for us. He is, in fact, a jealous God. He doesn't like these fake pretenders. He doesn't like people who put their hands on the Bible and lie about something that they not only have no intention to do, they fully intend to undermine. So much is wrong today that until we get to the point of literally falling on our faces and our knees before him, the real one, he has a name. It's been expunged from most of the English Bibles. Most of us know it, even if we don't all agree on how to pronounce it. But it's spelled in the Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Y-H-V-H. Might be pronounced Yahuwah. That's the way I believe, and I can demonstrate that, but not today. But there are all kinds of other things that are a lot more important, in other words, and whether we know what day another one was born on, and whether we recognize that we've inherited lies from our fathers, well, that's important. Are we going to come out? Are we going to separate ourselves? Are we going to literally begin to have the discernment to say, okay, if we don't understand what the real law is, if we don't understand what's been going wrong, how are we going to fix it? How are we going to even know which direction to turn around? We don't have a working compass. Now, as we hit to the bottom of the hour here, I want to just make a couple more notes. I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are in the secular world that will, I think, at least help us to understand aspects of all of this and this coming civil war. And I like this idea of compare and contrast. As you know, it's an exercise that I tend to take refuge in repeatedly. And how about this one? Remember, not too long ago, when we had a president in the White House who arguably wasn't fit to sit there, didn't meet the criterion. He had a fake birth certificate, but it certainly, one thing is true that we know for sure. We don't know where Obama was really born, but we know it wasn't, according to that Hawaiian fake birth certificate, which was debunked in more ways than you can imagine, and is really easy to show, was a complete fake. And yet, did we hear the press squealing about that? Did we hear the press squealing about all of the use of the illegal email servers and all of the other criminality and bribery and so forth about the Uranium One scandal and that same guy that's now talking about Russia, Robert Mueller, literally taking some uranium and going to the Kremlin with it? There's a little bit of collusion for you. Well, what we had before was arguably the imperial presidency. Remember this line? I think it was Paul Begala who said, stroke of the pen, law of the land. Kind of cool. Here's the compare and contrast. Remember when the current president, the guy that was actually elected, tried to use his imperial pen to say, I don't know, shut down the invasion from south of the border? You got other people saying, no, not your pen, man. What we have today is the opposite of an imperial presidency. I guess you could call it the impudent to the presidency, where literally no pen, no law. Doesn't matter what he says. But there is an exception, right? We saw one example this week where at least somebody claiming to have that imperial pen said, oh, look, when it comes to bump stocks, we can ban those. Interesting, isn't it? You can't stop the invasion from the south, but you can, in fact, take away property from people who might use guns, even if this is a kind of a bogus element of it, to prevent that invasion. So it looks like there is at least, one or two things for which his imperial pen might still work. Interestingly, though, they all seem to be right in line with the deep state agenda items. Bombs away is another one. He wants to bomb somebody, that's great. Wants to prevent an invasion, no, that's not going to fly. Compare and contrast. I think even the leftists, and you've got people like Alan Dershowitz and others that are admitting, oh, wow, okay, honestly, you cannot read the law, you cannot see what is going on without, if you have eyes to see, seeing what is going on. Ayn Rand and others have talked about, there's no way to rule honest men. That's a line from Atlas Shrugged. A long, interesting speech, but it basically boils down to what I have talked about on many other occasions. It's called selective enforcement. Remember Jim Crow laws? Well, they apply to black people, not white people. That was considered racist then. Now we have laws that apply to white people and not black people, but that's not racist. But it's still selective enforcement. Yes, there are in fact places where, and I have known good friends that say, oh no, this is real, Mark, I've been stopped driving while black. But you're not allowed to be a president while not something or other enough. Not progressive enough, not black enough, not Pocahontas-like enough, who knows, right? But what we have is literally the worst kind of bigotry masquerading as tolerance. It's another example of the compare and contrast thing. But you cannot deny the obvious, right? Selective enforcement. There are certain people, let's call them progressives, let's call them members of the Dixie Mafia, who can literally commit murder and treason and sell national security secrets and engage in levels of campaign finance crime that boggle the mind to the tune of hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of fraud with charities. Does the Clinton Foundation ring a bell? And yet, if the president has a tryst, and no, it wasn't a good thing, but come on. At least he didn't do it in the Oval Office with an underage intern. But if he tries to have an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which is pretty much standard practice, that is somehow a crime. It's selective enforcement. The other team can do it, can get away with it. The FBI can lie with impunity, but don't you dare even be accused of lying to them. Well, at least if you're on the team of the current president. If you're on the previous president's team, if you're, for example, Hillary Clinton, remember, you can get away with it, and they're not even going to put you under oath. They're going to help you destroy evidence. They allowed her people to hammer those disk drives into non-existence. And then, of course, Mueller and company took the incriminating cell phones of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and erased all of those. Criminality, 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 and selective enforcement. The average American is said to commit multiple felonies per day. I guarantee you, folks, if Big Brother wanted to take any of us down, especially if they're willing, as it seems obvious, to make things up and lie and come up with who knows how many people that will, testify, test a lie in exchange for a little bit of treatment or maybe an easy sentence, all of us could suffer the same fate that they intend to subject the current president to. So here we are in a situation where we literally simply have to say, wow, lawlessness abounds. There is a civil war that is planned. It's on tap. And whose protection do we want? Whose protection do we expect to have? Have we met the conditions if we expect to see his protection, especially if we understand what's coming? And we'll pick it up there when we get back from this bottom of the hour break. Stay with us. Money, green, change on the ground. Get a mighty toy and play. All right, welcome back again now to the second half of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and we're talking today about a number of things, but generally they seem to be associated, at least in my mind, with a concept that I think is incredibly important and getting more so by the day, and that is, who do we serve? Are we going to be willing to accept the lie? I think the line from Isaiah is key. They chose that in which I do not delight, said the prophet. Let me read verses 3 and 4 here, just so that it's clear. If you haven't, I would encourage folks, take a look at Isaiah chapter 66, last chapter in the book of Yeshayahu, or the prophet Isaiah. That makes it easy to find. And it says the following. It's talking about people that make their various offerings. I guess you could say, and I know this upsets folks, that's what's going on during this particular season, right? But here's the key line, about halfway through verse 3 into verse 4. Just, he says, as they have chosen their own ways. I got my Christmas tree, I got my nice little Easter eggs and other stuff. I don't care what the God of the Bible says. If he doesn't like it, hey, he knows my heart. Well, I guess that's the problem. Just as they have chosen their own ways, says the prophet, and their soul delights in their abominations. I got my Christmas tree. I love it. Don't tell me there's anything wrong with it. I don't care who says that there's something wrong with it. Right? How dare you tell me what the God of the Bible says? Their soul delights in their abominations. Well, here's what he says. This is words in red. So will I choose their delusions. Gee, do you think? And bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and they chose that in which I do not delight. Now, I guess since that's kind of negative, you could probably say that sounds a little bit negative. It's important. We might want to read in context here the next couple of verses. Hear the word of Yahuwah. And I'm going to read it right, okay? Take that capital L-O-R-D out of there and put back in what was originally there before it was hidden from people. Hear the word of Yahuwah, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yahuwah be glorified that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. Goes on to talk about he repays, Yahuwah repays his enemies. Are you suggesting, Mark, okay, I can already hear some of the complaints, that people who have Christmas trees, they will be repaid as the enemies of the Creator? No, let's be clear on this. All right, that's up to him to decide. I'm not going to try to put myself in that position. I'm simply going to say the following. His word is real clear. He says, here are things that bring blessings. Here are things that bring cursings. Now, the Roman pagan whore church has been teaching, oh, no, no, that's all done away with. Nailed to the cross. Here, celebrate his death with a ham sandwich. Wrong. There are things that he says bring curses. He also said he didn't change one yoder tittle, not the tiniest part. As long as heaven and earth still exist, I usually ask, hey, can you look out the window? Take a check. They're still there. Does that mean that he's a liar or we've been lied to? Well, I think the logical answer is obvious. So, choose this day whom you will serve. It's not, in other words, that I'm going to suggest that if you do these bad things, you will be cursed and he will smite you or anything of the sort. Hey, there's been a lot of silence for a long time. There are certain promises. I'm going to suggest something a lot more subtle and important. We are entering into a really nasty time. A really nasty time. There are a whole lot of nasty, evil people who hate the God of the Bible. Hate, hate, hate him with a passion. Folks, they are spending billions of dollars. It's easy because they print it. They're doing everything they can to say, if the God of the Bible says don't do it, we're going to mandate it. And if he says it's prohibited, yep, we love it even more. And if he says do it, we'll kill you if you try. We'll even cut you off from the web if you talk about it. So here's the point. It's not about curses. I don't like to worry about the curses. There's plenty of that out there. What I want to suggest is, if we want his protection, he says it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we want his protection, doesn't it make sense to actually do what he says? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, says one of those verses in the apostolic writings, and not do what I say? If we want his protection, and we're going to need it, we had better try to walk in obedience. So here is what I'm going to call the title of the show for today. Merry Christmas ain't going to cut it. All right, is it better that people say Merry Christmas and at least acknowledge somebody that they don't really know that much about because they think he did away with the law? They think he was born in the middle of the wintertime? They'd never bother to really study it out. But hey, at least they say Merry Christmas and they get a warm, fuzzy feeling about Jesus. Well, great. Is that better than hating him? Arguably. But let me say it again. Merry Christmas ain't going to cut it. Are you walking in his ways? Are we bringing the abomination into our house and still expecting a blessing for doing something he says he hates? Have we chosen that in which he says he does not delight and don't expect that, in fact, he's going to bring our fears upon us and choose our delusions? I can suggest, hey, it's pretty obvious what a number of those delusions are. They're out there. They're writ large. All right, there are some practical elements to all of this. I started out the show, too, by saying, look, if we do not understand the law, especially if we've been told for 17 centuries that the law is done away with, well, again, why would we expect that a constitution, a bill of rights, a bunch of stuff that's being infringed literally on a daily basis still matters anymore? If we don't know what our rights are, you don't have any. And furthermore, folks, if we don't even know our own history, I do entire shows during the summertime around the time of the Independence Day celebration for the Declaration of Independence that say, hey, it was very clear once upon a time. The founders unanimously agreed that there were certain truths that were so obvious that they were self-evident, that we have a creator and that we have been endowed by our creator with certain God-given rights. Among these are life, liberty, and property. Yes, the pursuit of happiness sounds more poetic, but it's all about property rights. Do you have the ability to own things, like maybe a bump stock? Or are you simply a slave, and Big Brother can say, we'll take it away if we feel like it, because what rights do you have, you slave, you? The purpose of government, says that document, is to secure these rights. And whenever a government becomes abusive of these things, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Well, here we are. They're not just abusive of it, folks. They hate that God. They hate his word. They hate everything that was once called the Bill of Rights. And they're working really, really hard, and not even hidden anymore, to destroy all of that. If we don't know those rights, we don't have them. If we don't know where they come from, well, obviously, that explains how come they have been and are continuing to be taken away. And if we don't know where they came from or what happened to them, what the heck are we going to do when whatever is next, and it's pretty obvious if you have eyes to see and haven't had your delusions chosen, comes upon us? I'll bring their fears upon them. Well, that's pretty clear. All right, real quick story here. This came from Lou Rockwell, Becky Akers. It's called Karma is a, well, the B word. And she talks about how even the WAPO, the Washington Post, continues to slowly admit just how nasty certain abusive, unconstitutional, three-letter federal agencies are. One of my very favorites, of course, transportation sexual abuse. This is the we could care less about the Fourth Amendment organization. You don't have a right to be free of illegal search and seizure. Bend over. Step into the porno scanner. We're going to take a picture of your naked body, microwave you, and if you get cancer, ha-ha, guess what? We'll lie to you about that, too. This is a particularly satanic organization, folks. They've never found a terrorist, but they sure as hell are one. Well, are a whole bunch of them. So the WAPO has a new line of articles, says Becky Akers, and their systemic dysfunction proves that what goes around comes around, and how heartening it must be for all of those people enduring gut-wrenching delays and the gate rape that these deviants, these are her words, inflict on innocents trying to head home for, yeah, Merry Christmas. Mr. and Mrs. Traveler stand spread-eagled in the porno scanner. Comfort yourselves as these thugs languish and do their nasty deeds that, hey, Constitution prohibited them anyway. What the story goes on to talk about is how even the WAPO is admitting what a nasty, evil agency this is. They consistently rank among the worst government agencies for employee morale. Well, I guess that makes sense, probably because an occasional employee reads the Constitution and says, wait a minute, I'm getting a paycheck for doing something that's absolutely positively forbidden in a free country. Maybe they feel bad about that. Perhaps the people that stay recognize, oh, well, you know what? I guess if you're going to do evil and get paid for it, you might as well love worshiping that other god. Here are some of the juicy details, says Akers in the WAPO piece. Quote, one senior transportation sexual abuse official put pictures of topless women on his walls. Now, if that was in the Trump administration, I guarantee you'd have heard about it. At least WAPO's reporting on it. But apparently, says Becky Akers, this moron didn't realize he can walk right outside and see the real thing at any naked body scanner checkpoint, as his underlings compare people to strip. Other officials spread rumors about their female employees' sex lives, while one of the executives called a group of female workers the B-word and a harem. There's all kinds of nasty stuff in here. Transportation sexual abuse did not respond to requests for comment because they don't owe the slaves an explanation at all. Finally, one of the people interviewed, one of the B-words, that seems to have had it with being abused. I guess if you're going to abuse people, as she said, karma comes around. I don't think that's exactly the right term, but, you know, it's at least enlightening to see people start to realize, connect the dots. Anyway, one of these disgruntled employees called the TSA, quote, really a disgusting place. Another said, this is the worst place I've ever worked. And Becky Akers concludes by saying, hey, it could have been worse. He could have been a passenger suffering their abuse. My point, here is an organization, folks, a three-letter agency, kind of like the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and anything else they choose to add, which is constitutionally forbidden. The Constitution is real clear. This agency would not exist if we still had a Bill of Rights. All right, now the other one this week, and this is one that I'll admit just really, really bugs me. And ironically, and this is one of those let's go along to get along, kind of like Merry Christmas, just about any serious person that is a gun aficionado, that is a rifle shooter, that's engaged in target practice at long ranges, in other words, the kind of people that treat learning to use a weapon as a skill, kind of has disdain for the so-called bump stock. Because let's be real here, anybody that's ever shot a semi-automatic rifle and practiced with it can simulate full auto fire just by holding the right pressure, kind of letting the gun be loose in your hands. You can use a rubber band. There are a lot of ways to do it. You don't have to spend money on a worthless piece of plastic and rubber called a bump stock. And by the way, there's no proof that it had anything to do with Vegas anyway, and that was a whole different kind of a false flag. But the point is, whether people know that these things are worthless or not, that does tend to keep the real gun aficionados out of the fight. The Trump regime, and I'm going to use that word in this term, in this case, took an expedient measure this week that even the Obama regime, as a number of stories pointed out, wasn't willing to do. I mean, think about this. The Obama regime wanted to outlaw bump stocks. But back in 2010, their ATF said, are you kidding? Here's what they actually said. This was the Obama regime era ATF. They did not believe that federal law allowed them to ban bump stocks. Quote, the stock has no automatically functioning mechanical parts or springs, performs no automatic mechanical function when installed. Accordingly, we find the bump stock is a firearm part and is not regulated as a firearm under the Gun Control Act, or, they didn't say it, the unconstitutional National Firearms Act. So even under these unconstitutional statutes, they couldn't see their way clear to this particular abuse. But remember what I said about Trump and the impudent to the presidency? He doesn't have a pen when it matters. He can't stop an invasion from the South. They won't build the wall. And you got Congress critters literally inviting the aliens in, and California saying, come on in, we'll put you in a sanctuary city, and later you can invade the rest of the country. But when it comes to an imperial edict that the deep state is hot to trot on, well, imagine this. They couldn't get away with it under Obama. But they've got this guy, and whether he actually knew about what was being signed off on, he certainly at least parroted the words. No, I don't believe that the president, who grew up in New York City, evidently, has much understanding of firearms and how they work and what their importance is. Because if he did, he would be real clear about what shall not be infringed means. And it's actually one of those pretty clear prohibitions. So what happened this week? Why is your host getting so frothy about a bump stock ban when anybody that's a serious firearms aficionado would know they're not worth much anyway? They're not very accurate. They're more like a toy and a way to waste ammunition fast than a serious accessory. But still, the point is here, there are people that have paid for these things, presumably free people, and the pen wielder has just said, we're going to, stroke of the pen, law of the land, we're going to outlaw them, ban them, yes, steal them. And from the date of the ban, you don't have a right to private property anymore. Now that sounds a little bit more serious, doesn't it? Once upon a time, we had this thing in the Constitution called the Fifth Amendment. There's all these amendments, you know, the Bill of Rights, and you can just about ask yourself, are any parts of them still apply? One of the things that was prohibited was for, quote, private property to be taken without, for public use, without just compensation. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
Well, this isn't for public use, so we can take it all we want, I guess. Aren't we clever?
Folks, it is prohibited to steal private property if people under the Constitution actually have, a right to property. And, of course, as I like to point out, there is one kind of property, only one, that is enumerated in the Constitution and said shall not be infringed. And here it is. The ATF is saying, well, that's a part of one of those things, but we're going to infringe it anyway. Not only are we going to do that, we're going to steal it because slaves don't have a right to property. So on just about every front you can imagine, what happened this week was an absolute, utter abomination to the Constitution. Now ask yourself a question. Once upon a time, a law had to be passed by both houses and submitted to the president for his signature. Not under stroke of the pen law of the land. This was literally an edict of a purely bureaucratic agency, which, if the Constitution still mattered, wouldn't exist anyway. And it's a violation of the 9th and 10th Amendments of the Constitution, which say that, things that aren't enumerated, those are rights retained by the people, even though in this case, the Second Amendment clearly enumerates, you can't do it either. The whole idea of private property, that has been turned on its head. The Fifth Amendment's prohibition against takings has been turned on its head. And what's the point? The point is, Big Brother is saying, you slaves don't have a right to own property. I was joking about it earlier this week. How about if the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which they later added explosives to, peons can't have explosives either, how about if they said, well, cars. Cars can be used for mass murder, probably more effectively than a bump stock. Well, let's make it the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives, and Cars. And we'll say that a car is a deadly, destructive device. We'll put it on the list. And you got a car? We're going to take it. We got away with it with bump stocks. Hey, it's just something that might be more expensive. We've been taking cars if we claim that you use them in a crime anyway. We didn't need no due process for that. This is not a slippery slope, folks. This is a cliff, and we've already fallen off of it. So on every front, what's interesting about this case is, this is one of those things which the waste stream is all applauding, which Trump probably simply rolled over for. I mean, he's got bigger battles to fight because they want to evidently kill him or kill his kids or make sure that whatever he wants to do isn't going to be allowed. And they're willing to break the law, bend the law, destroy evidence, lie under oath, you name it, to make that happen. Hey, what's a little bit of a destruction of the Second Amendment? Along with the First Amendment, which is pretty well already under attack by the Twitters and Googles and Apples and you name it's of the Big Brother public-private partnership world, we're seeing an attack the likes of which, I'll say it again, we have never seen before. If people don't have a right to own property, if they don't have a right to defend their property, if they don't even have a right to say no, look at what's happened in New Jersey. You got a 10-round or more magazine? We got 1 million new felons in New Jersey. Well, great. To the members of the free people of New Jersey who still understand what the Constitution and law once said, more power to you. Because all of us are already felons, remember? It's all about selective enforcement. It's all about being Big Brother being able to say, okay, look, we got something we can get you on now. And in California and in New Jersey, they got a whole bunch more things they can get you on. And if you're a good little slave, maybe, just maybe, they'll let you keep your property for a little while longer. But don't worry. Most people in New Jersey and in California wouldn't be there if they really cared that much about liberty anyway. Gee, Mark, isn't that kind of a nasty thing to say? Well, folks, that is exactly what we need to be pointing out. We are seeing a land that is being overrun with lawlessness. The Bible says, do not keep silent. There's a place where Ezekiel talks about the watchman on the wall. You see a sword coming upon the land, you're the watchman on the wall. You better blow that shofar. You better blow that trumpet of warning, because otherwise their blood will be on your head, says the Creator. Throughout the day today, I've been talking about things that literally amount to, hey, whose blessings do we want? What are we willing to stand up for? Right? If we see a sword coming upon the land and we keep silent and we should have blown the alarm, we're guilty. If we see things being done and we allow these things to be done in our own house, for crying out loud, well, we may or may not be quite as guilty, but do we expect His protection? Can we expect the protection of a Creator that you're not willing to stand up for? Not willing to even pay lip service to? Go along to get along? All right, I mentioned this. Let's begin to wrap up. I'm looking at chapter 10 of Matit Yahu, the taught ones of Yahuwah and His Word made flesh. And He is sending folks out. Basically, these people are going to be emissaries to the 10 lost tribes. Guess what? That was then, this is now. Has it occurred to most of us that we're still among those 10 lost tribes? Tell them the kingdom of heaven, Hashemayim, is at hand. All right? The workman is worthy of his hire, and when you go into a house, greet it. If it's worthy of your peace, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone won't hear your words, depart from there. Shake off the dust from your feet and be better off for Sodom and Gomorrah than it's going to be for the folks in that city in this time to come. I'm sending you out, He says, as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. A lot of these messages, I think, still resonate with us. Beware of men. They'll deliver you up to councils. They'll scourge you in various places. Ultimately, in other places too, He says, they'll even claim that they're doing God's work. Trouble is, they don't know which God we're talking about. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the nations. Don't worry about what you speak, He said. And He warns about a time when brother will deliver up brother to death, father his child. Those of a man's enemies will be in his own house. Does that sound like a civil war? And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. I think it's important, again, that we understand. Is that another Jesus who did away with the law, nailed it to the cross, and was born on Christmas Day, Mithra's birthday? Or is it the one who wasn't born, at least anywhere close to this time of the year, who didn't do away with the smallest part of the Torah, so long as heaven and earth that still exists, and said, if you love me, keep my commandments? Which ones? All of them. If we understand all of these things, He said this. This is kind of interesting, isn't it? We'll close with these words. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, Big Brother doesn't want you to have a sword, much less a firearm. Big Brother wants you to worship another god. And it's really, really important, folks, that in this season especially, if we intend to come out of her, we need to be willing to speak up and not hold our peace. And for crying out loud, make sure we know who we serve. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.